welcome to another episode of Beyond the Ball. I am Cody. This week I'm joined by Big Paddy. Paddy,
hello. What a week.
What a week for me. And I am joined by Connor. Connor, what's happening?
What's going on?
We're currently watching Liverpool versus Rangers. I don't know who I hate more, Liverpool or Rangers. So hopefully...
I'm struggling to decide at the moment as well, Cody. So.
Hopefully something terrible happens here and the game gets called off or something. Lads, we're going to be looking back at this week's football and what a week it's been. I think 2 weeks ago we said, who would have thought 3 weeks later United fans would have been the happiest fans? And now we're saying, after all the shit Chelsea been through, who would have thought this week the Chelsea fan would have been the happiest fan?
And it's only been Palace now. Come on, for fuck's sake.
Excuse me, we were beautiful
and players. Barely.
Potter, I always said, I just believe in him.
Magic, isn't he?
He's an absolute wizard with what he's doing with that team. Now, Chelsea were absolutely blessed to get fucking results. Lads, I have the graphics from last week, so I think we're going to talk about the games we were talking about. So the first game was, we did talk about it, so we're going to just have a quick chat about it. Arsenal and Spurs. Lads, who gave the win? Someone said Spurs or Arsenal were going to win. Was it you, buddy?
No, I think you might have.
Okay. I was on it. Yeah.
I thought you said Spurs.
I said Arsenal 1-0 now, in fairness, but I said Arsenal.
Did you just watch the game?
No.
Most of it, yeah.
What did you make of that red card for Spurs? For Royal, whatever his name is.
Emerson. Yeah, it's a nasty tackle, but it's a harsh red card. He almost slips into it. I think it's one that if he goes and has a look at a VAR, he probably doesn't give it, but he just goes straight to the red. He doesn't even bother to check it. I don't think it changed the game, though. I still think Arsenal were on the front foot before that anyway, so I don't think it changed too much. It might have killed a bit of a Spurs counter or comeback, but it was harsh, all right?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't think it was a red card at all. That's probably me just being a fucking defender again. I don't know. I just thought it was a yellow. It was one of them. I was talking to one of the lads at work who was saying, like, it's more like an orange card. It's like, yeah. It's not quite a red, and it's like, it's a little bit more than a yellow. So I suppose if it's more than a yellow, you have to give the red. So, lads, I just said we'd touch on to that. We're not going to spend time talking about this. We just wanted to touch back on to because we were,
does it prove Arsenal's title credentials, though?
Do you know what? I really do think it does. That was the game for me that I thought was the biggest test so far, because Spurs, I think, are a very hard team to break down at times. Conte sets them up really well, but it's hard to argue. I think we said it last week on the podcast. Arsene Wenger said that this year he actually thinks that Arsenal could be contenders and could possibly win it. He did mention that City are way too good, but what do you think, Connor? Do you think they're?
I mean, Arsene Wenger was also trying to bring in kick-ins and all as well, so like pinch of salt and all that. But no, that was one of the teams that was going to be hard to break down, and they put 3 goals past them. So it's all right. Cheers.
Sorry, I just wanted to check something. It's 1-0. Trent Alexander-Arnold. What am I doing here?
I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing. That's how sorry about that.
Fucking disaster.
For anybody,
I remember my first podcast.
I was having a bit of a mare there with the screen. It is 1-0 to Liverpool. Trent Alexander-Arnold, who has been getting some serious stick lately, has just scored.
Deservedly so.
He scored past like a 55-year-old goalkeeper, though. It's like scoring in 5 as well.
Yeah, it's true. I need to see a replay of this to what's a free kick? Oh, it was a free kick.
Bit of a peach now, in fairness, but
I'll tell you what, not a bad free kick. But he can still play shite, so I don't care.
Way gone.
Yeah, exactly. Lads, we'll move on. We're not gonna be as such watching the whole match on this. We're just gonna end the podcast in a normal way. We're not gonna drag it out just for the sake of watching this. So
you mean like goodbye or something?
Yeah. Right, lads, on to last week's game. So, obviously, Chelsea and Palace. Chelsea scraping the win. Good to see Aubameyang getting on the score sheet.
For who?
For Chelsea.
Not for me.
Oh, sorry, guys. I thought you were like, for who? Like, who'd he score for?
That's what I was thinking as well. And I was like, we've lost, buddy.
He's gone already.
I was a bit bitter after the weekend, you can probably tell.
Yeah, don't worry, buddy. We're going to get
them after a while, mate. Don't worry.
It's great, this is.
Wait and you see my outlook about the match. I'll talk about it soon.
Don't worry. We'll see it in a second. Can I just talk about Chelsea, Paddy? Is that all right? Can we talk about something other than Manchester United for 2 seconds? delighted to see Aubameyang getting on the score sheet and from open play rather than it being a pen or anything like that. A really good finish as well on the kind of the turn. Very good finish. I wasn't really even that impressed with how Chelsea played. This whole Potter style of football, I don't see it. Like, it's just a play out from the back kind of thing. And to be honest with you, we're not even doing it that well. Kepa kept having to launch it. What's the ref doing? I was like, he's going mad. Yeah, so look, lads, I'm not that impressed. I don't know if any of you have seen it or if any of you have any opinions on it.
What about Thiago Silva's handball?
Yeah.
Right, so I'm going to say that it wasn't a red card.
Was it an orange card?
No, it wasn't
an orange card, yeah.
Tell you what it was, right? It was a foul on Thiago Silva. That's what it was. He pushed him onto the ball, and then he obviously goes like that and hits it with his hand. Now, the only thing that worked in his favor is Chilwell was in behind him, and someone else, I actually think it was a midfielder, it could have been Kovacic or something.
We're a football podcast, you can't talk shit just because it's about Chelsea.
Come here, Paddy. I knew he wasn't going to say it was a red card, but I didn't think he was going to say it was a foul on
Silva. It was. It was 100% Stonewall foul on Silva. He was pushed in the back, fell down, and then desperation, he just put his hand out because he knew he was last man. He knew he was under pressure, or he knew
something. Last man is what he knew.
We're moving on. So look, lads, I'm not impressed with Potter and what he's doing with Chelsea. Delighted Aubameyang scored. That's one high. I like Sterling there as well, though. I'm impressed with Sterling. I think he's a good signing. Lads, little T-Rex. Lads, we're going to move on to the next one. Don't worry, Paddy. We're gonna get there eventually. But the next one, Liverpool and Brighton.
I can enjoy this. This is all right.
Come on. Connor, what are your thoughts on this? Sum it up for me, please.
3 games in 1. The first game was when Brighton went 2-0 ahead. The second game is when Liverpool came back to 3-2. The third game was when Liverpool blew up. It was entertaining anyway. But, yeah, it was...
What's going on there at the moment?
Same shit, different day.
Talk to me. What's up? What's the core problem that you have at the moment?
Again, it's like... I don't sound like a broken record, but it's the press.
It is the press, Nari.
It is the press, and you're right there. there's no intensity anymore. There's no one to press the ball. Luis Diaz didn't play. Probably, I think he only got back late on Friday, I think, or Thursday from Colombia. So I don't know if that's the reason why, but I think we said it last week. He's the person who's taken over a little bit from Mane for actually pressing the ball. And if he doesn't start, QED, that's what's going to happen. But obviously, we talked about Trent as well. And there's no point in me saying it because I think Gary Neville covered it really well last night in M&F. About like the three basics of defending, and he doesn't do any of them.
He really doesn't do it, and it was
really good. And Neville said he has the attributes, the characteristics to go on and be world class, but if he doesn't do the basics, he's never going to get anywhere close to it. So
the be all and end all is the fact that he's a right back. What
I was saying, just don't play him at right back.
Oh, sorry. I thought you just said, is he a right back? As if like you'd only heard of him or something.
Oh, just don't say him there.
Yeah, but this is the thing. We had this debate a couple of episodes ago, I think, where we were saying, like, why isn't Klopp playing him at right full? And you were saying it's because is it Elliot? Or not Elliot, fucking
No, Calvin Ramsey started training last week for the first time since he's joined Liverpool. Again, he's a 17-year-old who came from Hearts. So
that's what, like, he's really, that's a lack of squad depth there that you just can't move him out of that position. Because although he's great going forward, he is a liability. Every time you select him, he becomes a liability. Like, and Van Dijk isn't in the best form in the world either. So what's the alternative? Like,
The alternative, as I said it before, would be to play a 3 or a 5, whatever way you want to say it. But we need to have 3 fit center halves. And yeah. Gomez is back in. Well, Gomez and Matip are back recently. You could probably play Van Dijk, Matip, Gomez, Trent, right wing back, like whatever you want to call it. And then whoever on the left. But ideally, you're waiting for Konate to get back fit, and that's hopefully this month.
Why are Liverpool having so many problems? And it's always their defenders with injuries. Like, is it? Do you reckon it's a training overload issue?
It's been like this way since
Klopp joined.
No. Since it was after that, there was a change in the backroom staff in the last 3 years. I think there was. But it could be. Is it too many games? I doubt it. Is it?
Everyone else has it.
Is it the training set? Is it the training regime? Is it their medicals aren't as strict as other clubs and they're picking up these players who have weaknesses? I don't know.
Because good save. Sorry. Is it maybe like a lack of recovery from the training sessions? Like, I know everybody has that. You always, the routine or the schedule, I would imagine, for most teams is pretty much the same. But is he not getting that time, or is there just one too many intense sessions in there? Like, there has to be something.
We could speculate all day about what it is. You know, are they all involved in car crashes at the weekend that are covered up? I don't know. But it's reoccurring from the same players. It's Naby Keita. It's, well, Konate now, when you only recently bought him. It's Joel Matip. It's Joe Gomez. It's never seemed to be the players that you want to try to get out of the team. It's always
you know what they all have in common?
Huh?
You know what they all have in common?
I don't know. What?
They all get injured. I'm moving on.
I have a theory here. Like,
right, go for it.
Over the past 4 or 5 seasons, they've played so well and they've pressed so well and worked so hard. Maybe they've just got to their limits. A lot of their players have just hit their limits this season because they've played at such a high intensity for so long. Because if you talk about last season and the season before, the short break they had in the summer because of the whole COVID shit and all that, maybe it's just catching up on them as a squad. They were the hardest working team probably in the league. And now it's because if you look at the midfield they have, it's not the most talented players in the middle. So they had to work harder than all the other teams to, you know, get where they were.
Do you think it's down to the transfer window as well, where they're not getting in the right cover for certain players? Because you're obviously going to get tired players and you're going to get injured players. But they, as we can see with Trent, there's literally nobody to cover them.
Yeah.
And is that their big issue? Is they're not signing the correct people, or they're not even just signing somebody to cover in the windows?
You're starting to see the last couple of windows as well. I wonder how much control Klopp actually has over the signings he makes. Because the midfielder they got was a bit of a reaction signing. And Nunez, was he the player he wanted? I'm not too sure. He has to be looking at a squad and look at the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold. Like, he's a world-class manager. He has to see that he's a weak link. And, okay, why do we not buy a right-back to replace him? So, either Klopp is not as good at maybe in the market as other managers out there, or else he doesn't have the power to make the signings needed for Liverpool. It has to be one or the other.
What do you think, Connor? Do you think there's an issue with the owners and Klopp?
There's always been an issue with the owners, but it's been covered up in their success. It happens everywhere. You know, the owners aren't going to mention when you win the league or when you get the finals and stuff. It's just the sad reality. But there always has been an issue with the owners. Ever since they took over with Brendan Rodgers. And again, that's kind of why that kind of thing is giving away with him again. Straight to the back of him. Good enough for Ryan Kent. Give him a kick as well.
Ryan Kent.
But yeah, there's been a weight of this, like these front three who obviously Liverpool had played well with, and there's been no gradual change of that team to make sure that there's not a big gap and a big fall off. It's
other than Diaz.
Diaz coming in. Diaz wasn't bought to be an immediate impact. I don't think he just happened to be one.
Yeah.
And that's obviously fantastic, but he shouldn't have came in January to play whatever it was, 85% of the game from January till the end of the season. That shouldn't have been the way he came in, and it was a blessing in disguise that he came in and played as well as he did.
Fucked him in the deep end.
there's still that reliance on the front three. There's still that reliance on the core of midfield. And there's still that reliance on the core of the back five, we'll say, which is your two fullbacks, Van Dijk, goalkeeper. It's not changed. There's been, you bring in people like Kanate, brought him in at 19, not a lot of experience, one for the future 100%, but I think I said it when he bought him, he's not going to make an immediate impact. So if you want someone immediate for now, make those changes, bring in one of those marquee signings who's good now to help the team embed and grow a little bit. But now we're in that big gap where there's no one of enough quality up front. Yeah, Nunes, he still has a touch of a donkey. He'll always have a touch of a donkey. Does that mean he can't score goals? No. But
100% goals
score now. Who's there to fill the gap of Mane from last season who played in the nine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right, well, look, we won't spend too much longer on that. We will be talking about them a little bit more in a minute. On to the absolute calamity, which was Manchester City versus Man United. Patrick Sheridan, 4-0 down. How did you feel? At half time, by the way.
Sorry?
At half time,
yeah. And it's all, fans leaving. It's all about perspective. And my perspective is the glass is always half full. So when I look at this game, City won the first half. We won the second half. So technically, it was a draw.
Oh, I didn't know you get 6 points was given out for this game, was it?
Yeah, well, look. Who won the second half? Who won the
Nobody,
second half?
Nobody, it doesn't matter.
Who won the second half? We won. They won the first half, we won the second half. So, yeah, it was great. Great, good, good game. Yes, but now they got the points, but, you know, you think about it.
Can't win it all.
Yeah.
Paddy, talk to us about this, right? Now, was the difference in this game Haaland?
It wasn't just Haaland. No, it was United's application as well at the start.
So, were you happy with seeing Ronaldo and the likes on the bench? Sticking with that team, Casemiro.
We won the four games previously with them on the bench. And I'm not going to start saying he should have changed the squad because they played better. The difference was that the application was much different than the previous four games. But there was a four-week break. And look, he's only manager since the summer. He has to get these players consistently perform. And that's one thing we haven't had in a long, long time. I wasn't that surprised, really, you know, when it came up. I had hoped, you know, we'd keep it up, but I knew well, like, this is the same squad that played so badly last year. So it wasn't going to be a magic fix straight away.
But Paddy, did you not want to see, right? So obviously, we all know how good Man City are, but did you not want to see, as a Manchester United fan, I know you've been getting results with that 11 and that starting 11. We've Cristiano Ronaldo sitting on the bench. Now, look, you can say whatever you want, that he's not good for the team and everybody else performs poorly when he comes in, but there's no way I'd be leaving Ronaldo on the bench for that game. And then Casemiro over Scott McTominay. Like, I mean, you're talking A to Z there. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
we beat Arsenal and Liverpool.
Let's be honest. Well, Arsenal, fair enough. I can actually agree with that. Liverpool, I don't know if it's going to take much to beat Liverpool this year.
Like, it's all well and good for us to sit here and, you know, you should have played them and all. But why? Like, he didn't want to break up the squad. He wanted to keep these core players together because they performed for him. They'd won him points. Now I can see them. Like, there's 9 games as well this month alone.
Mm.
So, yeah, they're going to get runs out. Ronaldo, like, since he lost the baby and that, it's being said that he's been fairly depressed. Like, your man, philosophy fella that's been on TikTok and I don't know his name, but he was talking to Ronaldo and supposedly he's dealing with depression and stuff. I don't know, whatever.
Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate.
No, philosophy fella. for him to be out, he hasn't been playing well for Portugal and he hasn't been performing for United either, even when he has gotten his game. There's definitely something different there in it, like, other than his age, it's the belief as well. He hasn't even got the same belief he had last year. So I don't blame him being left on the bench. Casemiro, yeah, I do probably wish he probably would have gotten a starting place.
He was the one I was mainly getting at was Casemiro. Like, whatever about Ronaldo, Ronaldo is Ronaldo. Yeah. You know, you're not going to get work right out of him. But Casemiro, that just made more sense to have Casemiro in that team against the likes of De Bruyne, who's going to be in that position, against Phil Foden, who's going to... look, you have to do what you have to do. I would have liked them to see a switch, but I think we see it a lot these days where managers are very stubborn and they won't switch up their tactics to adapt to who they're playing against. Look, sometimes you have to just fucking admit it. The other team is better. Park the fucking bus. Absolutely. And do you know what I mean? And that's exactly what you have to do sometimes.
But that's what we have Rashford up front for. Yeah, that's why we have Martial on the bench, because we have that speed to play on the counter. The only time we've got a result against City over the last couple of seasons is when we set deep and played on the counter.
Yeah, that's best. It's the best way of doing it, I think, against Man City to stop what they're doing. Patrick Holman in with a comment here. If Sheridan does not stop that shy talk, I'm off. Won the second half. What the fuck was he watching?
Well, we did. The score doesn't lie in the second half. Great goal. Great goal by Antonio. Great goal. And what a penalty.
Lads, we're not talking about the positives of Manchester United here, are we? Oh, we're talking about
is Antony as good as Haaland?
Lads, how ridiculous is Haaland? Is that his third hat trick in the league?
Third hat trick in a row in the Etihad.
And so he done that in 8 games. I think the closest person to him was I don't know if it was like Michael Owen or Shearer or something.
That was like, I thought it was.
And it was like 40 games. Or 42 games 30, or something.
39, I think, was the next closest. Was it, yeah.
Like, you see, Ronaldo and Messi at his age only had one third of the goals he has.
Yeah. Now, different players, let's not mistake that. Like, different type of players, more wingers as such. Ronaldo started out on the wing. Messi started out on the wing. Haaland more.
CR9 against him for stats.
CR9. Or if you put, I suppose Henry, Henry, I suppose, out on the wing as well. But Shearer is kind of the main one to kind of compare him to in the Premier League, isn't he? Because am I right in saying Shearer has
even
the record?
Ruud van Nistelrooy. We thought Ruud van Nistelrooy was a freak when he played for United, but Haaland is even smashing his numbers.
Yeah, it's frightening to see. I don't know. The only way I can see him being stopped is because by having an injury. Like, that's literally the only way I can see him stop scoring goals is if he has an injury. Like,
you want Roy Keane up there to do what he done to his dad.
I said, did you see, who was it? It could have been Jay Daly, but now I think he's probably maybe seen it somewhere else. But Jay Daly off the United stand, he goes, I wish Alfie Haaland didn't, or Roy Keane didn't break Alfie Haaland's leg the last time. I wish he had broke his cock so he couldn't have
If only his foot was a couple of feet higher.
It was brilliant. Yeah. I was in knots when I seen it. So Paddy, what's your overall assessment of this for the viewers? And what do you think was the biggest issue for you on that game?
Application. At the start, they weren't at the races at the start of the game. And Man City just swarmed us. But as a Manchester United supporter, you know, it's against one of the best teams in the world against the best striker that's probably ever going to be, if he continues the way he does. So look, you know, take it on the chin. We'll take second spot in the league this season. I don't mind, but we'll take that.
We're going
to get results, and we're going to be a lot better than we have been in recent seasons. Well, in last season, anyway. Keep the faith.
All right, Connor, is there anything you wanted to add to that? Anything about Foden or Haaland you needed to touch on?
Obviously didn't see the game live because you're out smashing the course, smashing
balls around.
Watching the highlights, I agree with Paddy. The game was done. The game was buried in the first 30 minutes. You know, it was never going to be a comeback on from there. And yeah, you can grow back into the game afterwards. You know, you got a little bit of confidence after that. But it was dead and buried. Who knows if City hadn't needed to squeeze or kept the put down, what would have happened? But it's not a terrible result if they're after different things this season. One's on a rebuild and one's on world domination, really. It's not terrible. Yeah, we are probably, as I said, we're looking at Haaland just putting the ball into the net no matter where he is. The ball's in the volley, the ball's on his head, one-on-ones, tap-ins. He's just there. And Foden playing inside a little bit more suited him. I think he gets isolated a little bit too much when he plays out wide. But when he gets a drift in, he has like almost like a free roam. He's shows his ability a little bit more. He can float around, almost lets De Bruyne sit a little bit deeper, and become
pick up the ball deep. And drive forward, nearly, you know?
Pick the ball deep between centre halves and be able to step in a little bit with it, play those longer balls from deeper, and then Foden just in and around picking up the pieces, feeding the big man up top. It's going to be something difficult to stop. I only see the smaller sides who sit with banks of 5 and 5 are the only ones who are going to stop City, I think. I think the bigger clubs who have to try to go and get a goal against them are going to struggle to stop them.
Yeah, then bigger teams are out the wind. They're not
comments. I'd like your views on it as well. I suppose for the first one was about Paul Scholes' proper post saying, do you remember when wingers used to help the wingbacks? In other words, saying that the wingbacks didn't get any protection. I kind of agree with it looking at the match, but what I'd like your opinion on is I was sitting in the pub with my son watching the match, and you see all the fans leaving at half time. Now, I did for a second have a feeling of like, oh, fuck, I might as well go home myself. Then I was like, no, you know, stay and support the team. And I think if I was there, I'd stay and support the team as well. What's your feeling or views on fans leaving at half time?
Shocking.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's up to us to say we don't go to the games week in, week out. They are people who live next to the stadium. They live, eat and breathe the club. They're the ones who are paying their 2.5, 3, 4 grand a year. They have been for 20 plus years to go and see the team walk out. You know, they're going to be again there next week. Could be fed up, frustrated. But
for me,
going to watch a Liverpool game, if I was at a game, that don't even know, no matter what the score was, I wouldn't walk out because I don't do it every week in, week out. So
I can see
both sides of it. If I'm pumping that much money into a club and I don't feel like the effort is there, fuck out, I'm walking now because I'm giving hard-earned cash and I'm wasting my afternoon to watch it. But if there's heart there, I'd say if it was the other way around, Paddy, and you had the first half or the second half first, the first half second, people wouldn't have left after 70 minutes because the effort would have went in beforehand. But as you said, with such a slow start, not looking like they're ever going to be up to it, I can see where they walked out.
And it's not the first time they fucking experienced it as well with Brentford. Like, so they know the feeling and they know what comes from it. It's not the United of old where they come back and win games. Like, you're 4-0 down. Actually, touching on the first thing you said about the wingers not helping the left and the right full. I almost feel like it's one of two things. It's either a dying trade that the winger has to help the right full and the left full because they don't really play that tactic anymore. Or I just feel like they're wing backs, so there is no protection there really as such. Most of them will be kind of drifting towards more central positions. So I feel like a lot of teams won't play a right winger is like and make him work his bollocks off. Like, I remember going back and playing when I used to play football, and me right full would be there, and I'd be talking to him, and he'd be like, "Who the fuck's in front of me?" And if he sees who it is, if he knows that fella's not a runner, he's like, "For fuck's sake, not going to get any help." So the initial thought of the right back was, "I'm going to get help from your winger," but I don't think that's a thing these days anymore. I don't think because we're going into a tactical change and a different way of playing, I don't think it's a necessity for wingers to necessarily have to do that anymore.
I would always say as a 4-3-3 means there's no wingers, there's three forward players just happen to play a wide. So that's their forward and your midfield three as opposed to shift across and cover.
Yeah, it's not required.
There's no 4-4-2s anymore. There's no flat banks. I think that's what gets rid of their requirement to do the track and back, to be honest.
And that's a classic example with Paul Scholes saying it, because when you had Paul Scholes saying it, he had Gary Neville playing right back and he had probably David Beckham who would have ran up and down the wing all day.
Yeah.
And he would have had that support. And then you would have had Giggs on the left-hand side. So we know Giggs would run for days. Runs away from the police all the time after beating his missus. But,
runs through his brother's missus as well.
Yeah. it is a classic that he's an old school player playing an old school system that he doesn't understand that's not there anymore. You don't have that help. Like, you know what I mean? It's a different way of playing. I don't like it. I would prefer the winger always, like, in my opinion, when I was playing, the winger was always the fittest person on the pitch because he'd be up and down. Like, and I remember in team talks, I've always heard, work your bollocks off up and down the pitch, up and down the pitch.
And you I can't see imagine that change. Come on, lads. I don't think we know football better than Paul Scholes.
No,
should still be doing a job for the wing backs, especially now that the wing backs have to go attack more.
I think I think he's not saying that they're not, like, I don't think, sorry, how do I say this? It's not that the wingers aren't going to help out. It's just that the manager doesn't demand it, I don't think, anymore. So they get away with it a bit more than they would have back in the day. So he's probably saying, why aren't they helping out? Why aren't they getting, like, if you're right full, Trent Alexander-Arnold, for instance, desperately would need some help from the right back. Salah's probably the widest player on that side, is he? See, I was playing on the right. Are you going to see Salah back defending? Absolutely not.
Hmm.
It's just a way of playing, and it's just a tactical change from this day and age.
Midfielders, then, having two of them there, should they not be pivoting either side?
Two of them. I would like to see one covering. Like, yeah. I would like to see two of them sitting. If two of them are sitting,
yeah,
drifting in and out, and even having your centre backs to go out and cover, and them sitting in, like,
yeah,
that's the way I'd like to see it, but. If it's not happening, then that's...
You'll see your holding midfielders are there to push the ball wide. They think teams, in general, are happy enough for a cross to come in. There's so few teams playing with a big man up top now that, compared to 20 years ago when everyone had a big man up top. The ball goes wide, you're not going to cross, you're going to come back and recycle it to try to play somewhere else. You want to play through the lines. Unless it's that on the break, then you get the ball wide and you can put the ball between the goalkeeper and the fullbacks along the ground. The different kind of cross is a different kind of ball. But right now, I think they're happy enough. We're playing three front players that gives you three outs.
Yeah.
And if you have one or two holding midfielders, that they'll just push the ball wide to make the team go backwards and recycle across. I think that's just the way football has gone. Yeah. I'd like to see a change back. I'd love to go back to two flat fours.
Yeah,
but I think we'll just get more lines. We're up 4-2-3-1s. When are we going to have 4-1-1-3-1?
it's kind of
out of hand.
Do you think the game has gone that way? As in, like, you're not allowed to tackle like that anymore. You're not allowed to, like, go in tough anymore. So now it's gone to a more attacking game because the attacking players are a bit more protected now. Do you reckon that's a reason why that's gone like that?
I think I'll always go back to where the game is overanalyzed now. That's the reason why, because we have statistics and we have highlights and we can see more than we used to be able to see. And that's why the game has changed so much, because we can react to things that happen. And I don't think it's good for the game. I'd rather just see 11 blokes whose goal is to go out, put the ball in the other team's net, and their goal is to stop the other team putting it in their net.
Yeah.
As opposed to come on, just fucking launch. You have to launch
it, exactly.
That's the only objective of the game,
lads. We're gonna move off that. We're gonna move on to something else there, because we're a good bit in there. So it was nice to kind of, it's nice to kind of talk about the changes in the games. Like, I like that type of conversation where we kind of have a little chat and why we think things have gone a certain way. So that was a good one. Lads, we're going to move on to the imagination land. We're going to go to the fantasy football.
Can you actually get the three teams up there from your screen?
Yeah, I can pull them all up if you want.
Ah, bollocks.
Just go to our league and then you'll see the three of them.
Yeah, I have them here. All right, Paddy. What is that? They're changing the fucking button here, is it?
You're having a fucking nightmare.
Present screen. It's just present now. They're after changing it. StreamYard doing their bits. Right, lads, here is the table, unfortunately. Look, it's not the end of the world. We'll have a nice zoom in there. Connor, last position.
I didn't have Haaland as captain.
Rookie mistake. Part of your pants.
I had Luis Diaz and the cunt didn't even start.
So for anyone that is not watching, if you're listening to us on Spotify, go over to YouTube. You'll be able to see what we're talking about here. And while you're there, subscribe, like, follow, comment, get all your stuff into us and we'll ignore it. Connor, sitting bottom of the table, 429 points. I am in second place with 461. And Paddy is top currently with 489 points. Paddy,
But the gap was shortened the weekend. Again, I didn't have Haaland as my captain either.
Big time. Will we go in order of who got the least amount of points? So we go with you first, buddy.
Yeah, I don't mind you.
Right, let's have a look.
For last, that's all.
Exactly, yeah. An abysmal 62 points. Average being 68, so you're just below average. Highest being 157. What the fuck? We will have a look at that team in a bit because I want to see what that is. Paddy, talk me through your team here.
Do I have to? Ederson and goal. Saibi, Trippier and Cancelo. Rashford was my captain. He let me down big time. I had Son there after his hat-trick in the previous game. Didn't do great against Arsenal. Martinelli, okay. Sancho, and then Martial got the two goals at the end, which was a bit of a saving grace. I did still have Haaland there, just not as my captain. So the three strikers there kind of got me a few points, but
just the wrong captain choice there, really, wasn't it?
It was, but I was thinking, you know, everyone's going to be going with Haaland. If it works out, happy days. If it doesn't, well then, fuck it. I'll catch up.
You had 6 points on the bench as well with Shar for Newcastle. So that was disappointing. It's hard to put two Newcastle defenders in at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm doing it this weekend, actually.
Breaking news.
They must be playing Liverpool already.
Sorry, I need to go back to that fucking league. Right, Connor, we'll have a look at your team. 64 points, 4 points below average. Talk to me.
Made a change with Emi Martinez in goal. Took Hugo Lloris out. I was a tactical genius in that regard, but everything else is shy. Ben White actually came in for me because of somebody not playing who I can't remember. Cucurella didn't play.
Cucurella.
I was injured. So Ben White came into me for the five. Cancelo, Saliba, obviously conceding. Luis Diaz as my captain, which wasn't
bold.
Great. He got me an assist and he got me one off of it as well for the four doubled. Rashford as well, the same as Paddy. I somehow managed to pick out of the Brighton midfield. I managed to pick Pascal Gross and not Leo Trossard.
You got the hat-trick.
Hooked up that one. De Bruyne, obviously, Jesus, like everyone, Haaland, kind of like everyone, but as vice captain, the same as Paddy. And then Ivan Toney did absolutely fuck all except get booked. And I've left Sven Botman for 5 points on the bench, but I had him and I had Ben White, so one of them came in for five anyway, so not too bad. Can't really argue with it.
Yeah, not a bad, still not a bad week, although it's always slightly below the average. It is actually not a bad week, still like a good amount of points. Like, lads, I've got 87 points this week. This is probably my best week. I had Raya in goal, who got me 6 points. I had Bourne for Newcastle, got me 6 points. Walker, I believe, went off injured. Yeah, he went off injured in the 40th minute, so Walker may be coming out me team this week. Perisic in, only 1 point, disappointing. But I don't know whether to leave him in or not. I haven't decided yet. Lads, Mo Salah, 5 points. To be honest with you, I think this is the week I take him out. It frees up so much more money everywhere else, and I can strengthen my defence, and I can strengthen probably that attacking position with Toney. Get him out.
And Liverpool do have Arsenal City, so
yeah. So the run of fixtures isn't great either. But that's probably the fucking game that prick will score. Martinelli, I think he got an assist in it. Yeah, got an assist. De Bruyne with 8 points. De Silva again brought him in 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't think he's got fucking more than 1 point from you like during the game. Ivan Toney again, same as you, Connor. Same front three actually. Toney, Jesus, and Haaland. Only I had Haaland as captain, so got 46 points from Haaland. Then me bench is shy. Lads, Dallo, -2. Bailey and then Patterson is injured, so I'm going to have to fucking... don't know whether to play the wild card or I don't know whether to just make some subs. I didn't make any subs last week, so I now have 2 subs for this week. So decisions to be made, lads. Decisions to be made. I want to just have a quick look at the highest points, 157. You had Martinez in goal, Saliba, Bourne and Trippier with Cody. Jesus, that's 9 points. You had Foden, Saka, Madison, Jesus. He triple captained Haaland and he played Firmino as well. That's an outrageous week.
That's an outrageous show, isn't it? Connor Cody is a stupid fucking show off.
Outrageous, and I love it. Madison as well. That's a good show, actually. Very impressive, yeah, 157. Lads, we have a quick look at the podcast league just to see who's sitting top. I believe there's been a positional change. There has been. David Fox is up to top. David's injury list, 566. He got 76 points this week. Usher in Kane, who I think was leading last week, has dropped down to second with 551, got 59 this week. Tony Tam, 551, came up to third position. Collie Lamb in fourth position, 100 points for Collie. That's a great week. 549. And then we have Paul Connolly, Craig Mooney, Dean Fletcher, Paul Cummins, Jack Butler, and Jack James White make up the top 10. Lads, we look at the last place. I don't think we've looked at it.
Lately. Could be down there.
Let's have a look and see who it is. Sean Stack.
29 points.
29 points. He must be in no way he's doing his team. Wrong with Dez. It looks like he is. He just had a mare.
Oh. Can't believe Brennan and goalkeeper got the majority.
Yeah, I can't believe you haven't got Haaland. Right, lads, we're ending the fancy football section, right? We're going to move on to the predictions for this weekend. So let's move into that. Sorry, I had to take that little thing off the bottom. It ruins it every time. Right, lads, predictions for this weekend. We'll go in order that they are being played. So Chelsea versus Wolves. Ooh. Wolves sacked the manager.
Bruno Lage gone.
Gone. Chelsea
should sack their manager.
Should sack their manager. Wish they'd just cast him away. Cast a spell. I'm gonna say Chelsea are gonna win this one though. And I'm gonna say 2-1. And I'm going to say Raheem the Dream to score. Paddy, what do you think?
I'm going to say Wolves might get a little... I wonder will they have a new manager in by then. An assistant manager bump. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go for a one-all draw.
Okay. And scorers?
Aubameyang.
Aubameyang. Connor, what do you reckon?
I agree with Paddy, to be honest. I was going to go with... a draw, a one-all draw as well. So I'm going to stick with it. I'm not just going to change it because he's had it. And I'm going to go with Daniel Pedance.
Ooh. What did I say? 2-1?
You said 2-1. You didn't give a goal score.
I'm 100% sure it's going to be 3-1, lads. I feel like I'm a time traveler. This. Do you know, on this occasion, I just feel like I'm a time traveler. I'm actually changing it to 3-1.
Who scored if you're time traveling?
It's Raheem the Dream.
And what minute?
He scored his first one. In the 37th minute, let it that out. And he scores his second one in the 65th minute.
The important thing is, Collie, was there a throw in the first 60 seconds?
There was, yeah. It was a throw in the first 6 seconds. It was a bad touch. Yeah, lash it on. right, lads, on to the next one. Massive game, Arsenal versus Liverpool. Really looking forward to this game. How do you see this one going?
Another draw.
Gentle sea breeze there.
Yeah, I'm going to go for another draw. But a high scoring draw because Liverpool's defence is shite. But I don't think they can afford to drop many more points or they will be really giving it a bash. I'm going to go for a 2-all draw. And I'm going to go for Salah to score first.
Nice one. Connor. How do you see this one going, my friend?
See it being high scoring as well. I just don't know. Never really said this about Arsenal. Their back four has been pretty decent this year so far.
It's not often you get to say that, is it? It's
not often you get to say that, no. Not unless you go back to fucking Tony Adams and Joel Campbell and all.
David Luiz.
Steady. I'm gonna go 3-2 Arsenal.
Back in against Liverpool. It's a win-win, really, isn't it?
I don't win by saying I don't win anything on this. Like, you know?
Pride. Clip it.
And I'm going to say Martinelli. I think he's going to still cause Trent issues on the left.
You're always so logical. I said United would be City last week. Like, come on. Be a fan, will you? Be a fan. For fuck's sake.
Stop being logical. How dare you think logically?
Jesus Christ. Show over the passion. Fucking hell.
I think, lads, Arsenal are going to spank them. I think it's going to be 3-0 to Arsenal. I think Liverpool are really going to struggle in this one.
3-0?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 3-0. I think Trent's going to have a mare. I think Van Dijk's going to have a mare. And Time Traveller, hat on again, believe he scores an own goal. But it's a controversial one. It's a deflection more than that. But I think it's an own goal.
So you travelled in time, but you didn't wait till the Monday for the dubious goals panel.
No, I had to get back, I had to get back to the podcast.
Or else his voice gets really wobbly.
That's what it is. It must be travelling back in time. Right, we're on to the next one and the last one, lads, and then we'll be ending the pod. Everton versus United. Connor, how do you see this one going? Super Frank
still going. Tight game. In Goodison, Frank's not going to want to give up too much early. I'm going to say Everton to go ahead, but then United to do a United and claw back. 2-1 United. And he's been playing well, so I reckon he gets a start and they go with Martial up front. So I'm going to back Martial, especially after his penalty last on the weekend. It was fucking outrageous.
Yeah. Paddy, what do you think?
Everton, good result the weekend. And, they've been doing all right this season as well. But I do think there's going to be a big reaction from United this week. I think we're going to have the forward line he's wanted to have since pre-season with Sancho, Rashford, Martial all up front. And I'm going to say 3-0.
8-0.
3-0 tonight.
And he's scoring for us.
Because I think defensively they won't want to concede. And we have been doing well defensively except against City. And the rest of the game is first start of the season as well.
And who's scoring for us?
I'm going to go Martial as well, yeah.
Yeah, Sam.
Lads, I think Super Frank is on a charge, and this is going to be one that he's going to relish, and I think he's going to get the win. He's going to get the dub, and I think it's going to be a 2-1 win for Everton. And I'm going to say...
Quick Google of Everton players?
No, I don't know. It's Calvert-Lewin is back.
I think he is, no.
I'll go with Mopay. I'd say Mopay might score, or Gray. No, Mopay.
Just make that up.
Yeah, Moped. yeah, I'm going to go Moped. So I reckon Everton are going to be United because United are shit.
Machine obviously wasn't working for that one.
No, that did work. And
he had the time cover and hat on as well. So
yeah, exactly. Right, lads, that is pretty much all we have time for, and that is all we are going to be shy talking about. Lads, I think I was saying it to you before the pod started. I have an idea. I'm going to put the feelers out, see if people are interested. Maybe we're going to do a Beyond the Ball FIFA tournament. We might do a little bit of a prize pool on it, so €10 entry. See if we can get a bit of interest in it. The way we'll probably do it is if we can get... Ideally, I'd love to get like either 32 or 64 people because that makes it a bit easier to do the table. Everyone will get randomly selected against somebody, and you've got a certain amount of time to play our game. And we'll keep moving it along that way. So if whoever wins just advances to the next stage. Eventually, we'll have a final. And we'll have a look when we get final numbers. And we'll see how many people have entered. And then we'll come up with the prize pool. It'll obviously be announced before everyone sends money or whatever. But yeah, I think FIFA tournament could be a bit of crack. I'm shy at FIFA. But
I was just going to say, Cal, you're saying a FIFA tournament. I have a text message from you. what does it say? FIFA is so fucking shit. Yeah. I can't stop people just walking through the middle at the back. It's impossible.
It is impossible.
I'm drawing against you.
It's fucking impossible. The game is a fucking joke. Like, I was playing against, I done that draft thing for the first time ever. Like, I'm not, for anybody watching, I'm not a big fucking FIFA player. Like, I get it, and then I spend about €50 on packs getting Obi, and then I fucking throw it to the side after losing about 10 games. So that's where I'm at now. I've lost one L1 in my fucking draft. So it was pointless. Like, Bought a pack yesterday for €20 and got nobody. Got fucking Jude Bellingham, who I already have. So it's a tricky fucking game, and I can't stop people walking through me defense. They're literally walking and going side to side, and I just keep sprinting past them. So I don't know what the fuck. I have to
press the tackle button.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The tackle button doesn't
work.
Jockey
Cully.
I don't know how to do that.
Just mash all the buttons.
I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing. So lads, yeah, that's an idea. FIFA tournament. We'll put it out there. See if anybody wants to get on board with that, and we'll hopefully make it happen, because we can go cross platform now with PS5 and Xbox. Am I right?
Yeah.
And PC.
And PC. So look, we're fucking golden. We have the facilities.
Don't let PC fuckers on it. They'll do hacks and all.
I know. Yeah. If anybody's catching, knock the bollocks out of them. They won't be trying to just knock the bollocks, out.
Bollocks out of them.
Yeah.
Like UFC, don't
now we'll have to hire somebody to do that. Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, Crystal.
Yeah, Chris will sort them out. So lads, yeah, FIFA tournaments coming up. Watch this space. A big shout out to our Malaysian Asians over in Malaysia, who got us to number two in Malaysia for football podcast. 14 in sport overall as well over there, lads. So the only one that was ahead of us in the football was Gary Neville. Yeah. So fuck you, Gary Neville.
Bastard. Let's knock him off the top spot. Come on. Look,
it's like he doesn't have enough already. Like, give us a fucking break, Gary. I'm gonna fucking clip this and tag us how he sees him. So
let's look for a clip where he's slagging Malaysian people or something.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna fucking voice it over. I'm gonna do a dub voice over the video.
He just dub one over him instead. No,
I just batter him.
I just want to put it out there that I love the Malaysian people. I really do.
No, I love them as well. Yeah,
and the country and all. I really do. I love
you. Do, I love you. I love you as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I don't know how he's listening and how he's even understand us, but fair enough.
Can I really give us a bit of love for the fucking Malaysia, will you?
Come on, shout out Malaysians.
Big up Malaysia, boys, yeah.
Big up Malaysia.
The Mac and all that, yeah. The field is class.
Yeah. Yeah, class. BTS and all them. Right, lads, we're going to end the pod there. We're going to be back next Tuesday. I don't know if we have any games then. Could possibly. I'm not sure. Don't bother checking. Couldn't be asked. Right, lads. It's been a pleasure. Paddy, thanks for joining us.
See you next week. We won the second half. Glass half full.
Blah, blah, blah. Connor, nice one.
Yeah, Liverpool are showy. United are showy. Move on.
Chelsea?
Showy.
Okay. Yeah, for anybody that's watching, make sure you subscribe, like, comment, follow, all that shit. And if you're listening on Spotify, make sure you follow us, download it. Then go over to Apple's, listen to it there, and whatever. Just fucking, I don't know, just listen to it or do something cool with it or something. Right, that's it, lads. We're out. We'll be back next Tuesday, 8 o'clock. And we'll see everybody.